Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Or a lolcat. Shut up, lolcat.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Everything's awesome.
Everything's awesome. Just take a look around you.
You just can't go wrong.
You just can't go wrong. The possibilities may astound you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
And this is Luke and Carrie's
Bad Rapport.
Yay.
It's a podcast.
Yes. Me and Luke have had an interestingly sucky couple of days here. We're not going to go into it.
There's so much sucky that I don't even want to go into my side of the story. I'd rather wait till the next podcast when things are a bit more resolved so that there's an ending to it.
Yeah, and mine is like sucky yet personal, so I'm not going to go into mine. But mine would normally look pretty sucky if it wasn't compared towards the suckiness Luke has to deal with. So we're not going to talk about that anymore. That doesn't exist.
Yay! So what would you like to talk about first, Carrie?
Well,
of the cool things you've done lately.
Well, I did a cool thing. I went to Michigan with Josh, and we went to see Weird Al Yankovic with Blasted Bill Putt, Moonbeam, Megan, and Dan. And the six of us went to the concert, and it was pretty cool. And you happen to see an Al concert also.
The Al concert I saw was at Summerfest in Milwaukee. And you know how, like, you eat at White Castle for the majority of your youth, you know, whenever you can, when it's in the neighborhood. And then at one point you hit an age where you say, you know what, I'm done with White Castle. This is not good for me. It's bad. I'm going to stay away from it. So, and then you do. But then, like, you know, months, perhaps years later, you're driving by a White Castle and you think, you know, I haven't had White Castle in a long time. I can't remember why I stopped going there. I'll go get some White Castle. And then you get some, and then you remember why you're not going to White Castle anymore because of what it does to your gastrointestinal system.
Yes.
Summerfest is kind of like that. I stopped going a long time ago because, first of all, they're decreasing the support of comedy, both in stand-up and improv and virtually anything else. Was, you know, shot down majorly to the point where they only had two comedy acts there this one year, Weird Al and Louis Black, and they booked them both performing at the same time on the same day.
Oh, God.
On different stages. So it's like, you know, that between that and just the fact that Summerfest, you know, a lot of us just call it Drunk Fest. It's just like rude, drunk people everywhere. And it wasn't even until Ken said some stuff that reminded me of, you know, how bad it was the last time. But it's like, several years had passed, like 6 years, and, you know, Weird Al's playing at Summerfest. It was the most conveniently located and best-priced option for me to attempt to see Al's concert. So I decided, oh, you know, it's been several years. Maybe things have changed. And I go back, and it was going really well up until about, you know, the closer it got to showtime, especially about, like, 10, 15 minutes before, all these, like, young, rude, asshole people started showing up, and basically, it's like all these benches, not like seats, like benches that don't have any assigned markings on them. So if you want to see the show, you basically have to show up early and claim your spot and sit there all day.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had shown up about, you know, at least 3 or 4 hours early, I think, for Al's show. Some of our friends were already there. We all kind of grouped together. But then, like, 15 minutes before the show, all these young, rude assholes start, like, walking on the benches to basically shove themselves up in front, you know, without any regard for anyone who's been sitting there all day. Now, if this was any other band, like, you know, Skinnerd or ZZ Top or just any other, you know, rock metal party drink fest band, you know, I wouldn't care. But this is Weird Al Yankovic. There's tons of really young kids there in the audience, you know, families coming out there.
Yeah.
And all these people are just, you know, rooting. And so that's annoyance number one. Coupled with annoyance number two, people will stand on the benches, even if they're in front. When it comes time for the show, they will literally stand on their bench so that everyone behind them can't see, which forces everyone else behind them to stand
on
their
benches.
Bench.
Oh my
so,
God.
So even though we were, you know, probably about, I don't know, eighth row back ish, you know, we couldn't really see much of anything because of all the assholes in front of us who were standing up. And in fact, some of these rude kids came and tried to stand you know, on the benches, or they tried to basically stand and move in front of some kids who have been there for a while. So all those kids stood on their bench and then basically almost got into a fist fight. They had an argument. It's like, you know, if you want to stand there in the aisle, that's fine. If you want to stand directly in front of me, that's fine. But don't you dare try to stand up on this bench that I'm standing on right now, because we've all been waiting here since about 4:30 this afternoon. So basically, my friends Nikki and Steve, you know, I went there with Steph. She met me there. And, you know, Nikki and Steve are there with their, you know, teeny tiny kid, Max. And, you know, they're there with the stroller, and all of a sudden the show starts, and bam, everyone stands up. Nikki and Steve and Max pretty much didn't see the entire concert.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, basically, Summerfest is full of lose, but what we saw at Al's concert was full of win. Do we want to talk about the concert itself, or do we want to, like, not spoil it for people, or what?
Well, my venue was kind of the opposite, where everybody was seated no matter what, and, you know, people that were standing were looked down upon, and everybody was really sedated and, like, you know, quiet in Rochester Hills, Michigan. And then we tried to meet Al after the show. Well, for me and Josh, it would have been meeting for the first time, but he never came out for those that don't have the passes. And there's only about 8 of us there, you know, the 6 of us that I was there with, 4 of whom had met him, and well, maybe Dan hasn't, but I'm not sure. And then, I'm not sure about Dan. But anyways, basically me and Josh were probably the only ones waiting there that had never met him. But we got to watch, like, people that have met him, like, hundreds of times and, you know, go in, you know. It was kind of a bummer. Concert was pretty cool. You know, there was a couple songs where they were a little not tight, which surprised me because that's, you know, not what you expect. But I think it was White and Nerdy specifically was the song where I was like, ooh, they need to step up their game on this. But
well, this was, we were seeing it at the very beginning of the tour, too,
right?
So,
oh, damn. Yeah, so I don't know. We don't need to spoil it. We got a lot on our plate for the podcast.
I was really happy. I saw him do songs live I've never seen him do before, which was a huge treat for me. The opening song of the thing was, like, super epic, and I kind of had it spoiled for me before, but Steph hadn't. So, like, I basically, when it got to that part, I just kind of looked up at her and, like, the elated joy and happiness and, like, freaking out, like, fangirl clapping that she did, you know, over the opening number.
Yeah.
Like, totally, you know, blew her away. So that was super awesome.
I'm trying to remember if I think I know which number you're talking about.
But it's the...
We'll mention it.
Yeah. So,
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then Bermuda did come out and say hello to some of us, but, you know, basically, you know, another reason Summerfest is full of lose is even the whole backstage patch system gets, like, you know, thrown out the window. They don't give a crap. They're basically like, oh, if you're the rock star, you want to meet your fans, go out and meet them. We're not letting them come back here. So basically,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So basically nobody got to go backstage to say hi to Al at Summerfest, but Bermuda came out and said hi to me and Steph and Nikki and Steve and Fred and Todd and people that he's known for years.
Yeah.
So anyway. So major thumbs up for the Weird Al concert. Go see Weird Al if he comes to your town. And he's coming to England. England!
England.
England!
We'll get to England later.
Okay.
First, I would mention that I did get a chance to spend 4th of July with Blasted Bill and Moonbeam and Dan and Megan and my husband and others. First, we had Moonbeam's baby shower, which was really cool. There was decorating of onesies. That was a very interesting aspect that I think I would borrow if I ever had a baby shower. And then afterwards, there was a bonfire at Bill's farm, which is actually Bill's dad's farm. But that was really cool. But the most fun part for me was when we recorded Bill and Carrie's pod of rapport number 1, and we drove around the farm in not a golf cart, but a similar four-wheel drive machine called a Gator. And first we drove around with Karen and this guy named Ryan, and then after that we dropped Karen and Ryan off, and then we picked up Josh and we drove around the same places, and it's not quite as hysterical as their Pot of Destiny number two, where Dan's falling out of the back of the golf cart while Moonbeam speeds as fast as she can. But I thought it was pretty hysterical and pretty epically awesome. So that's not up online yet, but it will be. So, you know, subscribe to the Pot of Destiny.
Yes, that's dementiaradio.org/PODOD.
Yes, and then last week I went and got a big life-changing device called a insulin pump. And basically, no, it's not surgically attached to me, as I had to tell both my supervisor at work and my father. Which, you know, my father has a diabetic daughter and a diabetic mother, and my supervisor has a diabetic mother, so you'd think they would know a little bit about that kind of thing. But no, it's not surgically implanted. It's a device that looks kind of like a giant pager, a giant purple, in my case, pager. And it's hooked to me with a little tiny skinny tube, about a little bit bigger than a piece of spaghetti. And good. And, and then it's hooked on a little, what is it called, an infusion site, which I use a needle to get it in me, but then it just sticks with a little plastic canoodle, like, so it's not like I'm walking around with a needle in me. And then another little thing that talks wirelessly to my insulin pump. It's called a CGM, and it stands for Continuous Glucose Monitor. And it's this little thing. It kind of looks like a seashell, and that sticks into me similarly, but it's independent of the other site. And that tells my insulin pump what my blood sugar is. Not super reliably, but it does do that. So I've had a, you know, having a new adventure and being diabetic here, and hopefully I can bring my blood sugars down, and hopefully sometime this year my blood sugar averages will be low enough for me to try to get pregnant. But that's not going to happen anytime in the next few months, which Bill will be happy to hear because he doesn't want me to be baby dead, which he calls anyone who has had a baby and is a friend of his.
Meaning that they aren't able to go out and do things anymore because they have a baby?
Yes.
Well, considering that Moonbeam's... Well, I guess... Because Megan is...
Megan has a baby. And Megan
has a baby.
Megan still shows up to shit.
Moonbeam will soon have a baby.
Yes.
And then... Who else has had a baby recently? I can't remember.
In the dementia community? shit, I don't know. I'm sure somebody has, but... I'm blanking.
Megan.
I know Devo, yeah. Spice's youngest isn't terribly old, but his youngest is at least a year old. And now I can't remember if his youngest is a boy or a girl. But
well, he nicknamed them all, so we can't remember which is which.
Yeah. I think Spot is
Spot, Stripe, and Fluffy are the nicknames for Devo's three kids.
Yes. So England, you say?
England?
Yes.
Why don't you tell us about a fabulous podcast that's fabulous?
Well, I've been harassing Luke for a couple months to listen to a podcast called Flat 29's Big Book of Everything. I heard about this podcast on just like an iTunes, just the iTunes store. It was just kind of sitting there as a, we recommend this. I don't remember exactly how it came up, but it came up. And I noticed, I managed to figure out that there was comedy music involved because they had Flat 29's Big Book of Everything, the main podcast, and then they had a side podcast called Just the Songs, and it was in the comedy section. So, you know, comedy, song, thing that I should check out. So I just downloaded all of them, and I started listening to them from the beginning, and... then eventually, Luke.
Yeah, basically, Carrie had been like bugging me. It's like, you gotta listen to this podcast. It's awesome. You gotta listen to this podcast. It's awesome.
I finally forced him to listen to like what was at the time the most recent episode. Like, I think it was 2 weeks ago when we were, or was it 4 weeks ago?
Probably 4 weeks ago ish. Anyway,
like 4 weeks ago when we were recording episode 17 at his house, which I should mention, this is episode 19.
Oh, we totally forgot to do that again.
Yes, this is episode 19, and we're recording at my house. And for reasons we're not going to go into, we're probably not going to finish recording it here, so we're probably going to have to finish this episode on Skype.
We'll see what happens. Anyway, so yeah, the premise of this show is, as we said, Flat 29's big book of everything. Flat 29 is the three hosts of the show who are a comedy music group called Flat 29.
And they got their name from where they used to live when they were in college, or where they still live. Their apartment, a.k.a. Flat, was number 29. So that's where they get that name.
Yes, and the big book of everything is each episode of the show, they discuss a topic, which they are intending to be a chapter in a big giant book covering everything, you know, in the world that matters. So, you know, they've gotten...
Well, technically everything, not just everything that matters, because they had to address the topic of one of their fans' dad's armpit sweat in a recent episode.
Well, that's true, but, you know, they start off with, you know, basically there's been episodes on politics, on football, on...
Puberty. Parties.
Human bodies. Science fiction, video games,
movies,
liars, or lies, I should say, and the elderly, just all kinds of great topics. And within each of those episodes, they have at least one brand new song that they've produced as a part of the podcast. So so each weekly podcast, as well as discussing the topic in various funny ways, they are also doing a song about it. Hence, them having the main podcast where you can listen to the whole show, which is about 40 minutes, or you can get the Just the Songs podcast and get Just the Songs sent to you. Or you can get both. I signed up for both. But I first listened to all of the episodes, you know, in full. And
yeah.
then I went back and got the Flat 20 Rhymes podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That's what
so,
I did.
So that's what they call that segment, is Flat 20 Rhymes. So,
yes. And they, in addition to their full-length original song, they have tons of, like, interstitial little songs. But it's not like on the scope where they're instrumentals. It's their, you know, their vocal related songs were like,
or sometimes they're just like really short things, like all three of them sing in harmony.
Podcast.
That was probably not anywhere near harmony, but that's
no,
you get the idea.
It almost approached a unison, but not a harmony.
So yeah, it's a really well produced thing. Basically, I'm assuming they just sit and jibba jabba, and then later one of them actually cuts it down to just the funniest bits, you know, into the 40-minute show.
Yeah.
Unlike our show, Bad Rapport, where we just leave everything in because we're too busy and lazy.
I think Dan is the one who does the work on that.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So let's talk about the three hosts of the show, starting with Dan there.
Well, they're all adorable from what I saw in the pictures. They're attractive young men in their 20s, which is, you know, a little weird because we're in our 30s now, and like, now we have to get used to, okay, people that are significantly younger than us do cool things too. So, but Dan is, he's kind of like Paul McCartney, I guess. I don't know.
It didn't take too long for us to jump to a Beatles comparison.
Well, it's pretty easy because Rich sounds exactly like George Harrison, to the point where, as I listened to his voice during the podcast, I cannot imagine anything other than young George Harrison. I know I'm a dumb American for saying that, but, you know, to me, he sounds like if George Harrison started saying wildly inappropriate things just out of nowhere. So, but,
and then there's Charlie.
And then there's Charlie, who has a beard.
Yes.
And he gets challenged, and he is the champ.
Yes.
And he is not the chump.
and yeah, they just, they switch off doing the songs per, you know, from show to show. Sometimes they team up and do things, but, they've released, I think, about 4 CDs before this,
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I looked at their website and I saw, like, there's a whole bunch of other albums. I'm like, oh.
We have to order those.
Must get albums. Unfortunately, I'm going to be broke for the next infinity.
Yes.
So,
Well, if I order them, then I'll let you have them too.
But yeah, but we want to encourage people to go to flat29.com and purchase CDs by Flat 29 because they're awesome.
Or at least go on iTunes and subscribe to Flat 29's Big Book of Everything. I mean, you know, I honestly, it took a few episodes for it to catch on with me. The first couple episodes, I was kind of like, But then, like, after a while, I just got to love them and think they were really awesome. Not every song of their full-length song is, like, you know, a keeper. You know, some of them are kind of B-sides, but that's okay.
But some are totally epic and rock. And
yes,
you know,
I write nothing but B-sides, personally. Hey, we were supposed to play a clip of this. We were supposed to play a clip, and then we were supposed to play...
I'll insert the clip right here. So this here now, for your listening pleasure, and to encourage you to go to flat29.com and sign up for the podcast of Flat29's Big Book of Everything. Here's an excerpt from the show. If the guys hear this, I hope they don't get mad at me. Trust me, I'm just trying to
promote you.
We're trying to get our fan base to listen to your show, and that's a good thing. At least I'd like to think it is. So here is an excerpt from the episode about the elderly of Flat29's Big Book of Everything.
I think a Battenberg cake is the best sort of metaphor for a integrated multicultural society that I've ever seen as well.
Yeah, cause
you can be pink, you can be yellow, but no other colour. And then it's fine.
But you can nestle quietly on the shelf, you know, next to a ginger Jamaican spice cake and...
exactly.
You know, all sorts.
It takes a lot of cakes to make a cake. No, what's this phrase?
I don't know where you're going with that.
Some sort of phrase.
I mean, are you going with it takes all the colours to make a rainbow or something? Like,
yeah, but it's kind of a mixture.
It takes lots of cake to make, and then there isn't a collective noun for cake, so basically you've gone...
If I just change the intonation, it's fine. It takes a lot of cake to make.
It takes a cake to make a fake.
What does that mean?
No, I'm just making sayings up.
You know how babies just say random syllables before they can speak proper words?
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a little bit what you're like.
I know.
You just say rhyming words until they make sense. So go on then, let's make up a new phrase. What was your idea? It takes a lot of cake to make a fake.
Yes.
So what does that phrase mean?
What it means is... it takes a lot. It's just self-explanatory, Dan. I've got another one.
Okay.
You cannot fake a cake on the make. What does on the make mean? I've forgotten.
Okay, so...
So we just played a clip, and I'm not sure what it is, but I'll find out later.
It's a clip you've heard that you like, trust
okay.
me.
Okay. Oh, I think I know what it is.
Yes.
Okay.
So, I just wanted to mention a couple of the recurring segments on Flat 29, which are awesome. One is we alluded to them earlier. One is called Challenge Charlie.
Yes.
In which
they sing a great song.
Yes, Challenge Charlie.
Let's take away his dignity and pride.
Challenge Charlie.
We'll make him do whatever we decide.
Challenge Charlie.
That's something, 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 something that rhymes with O.
Challenge Charlie, he'll do it or he won't be on the next show. So every week Dan comes up with a challenge for Charlie, something that he has to either do immediately right there, or he calls him earlier in the week and he has to prepare something for the episode, or it's a thing that gets put off to later episodes.
Yeah.
Like one of the more epic ones was Dan challenged Charlie to a race around the world.
Yes, that was awesome.
Which basically ended up equating to whichever one of them could get the farthest away from
their own front door, which I think Dan made it to France.
Dan ended up winning by getting to...
Did he go to France?
I don't know if he went all the way to France or if he just went to the shoreline.
Yeah.
That would have led to France if he would have been able to swim the English Channel.
Oh, yeah,
so
that's right.
That was epic.
That was pretty hilarious.
He's like, fuck you, Charlie, I win. He's like going out into the ocean. His friends are like, okay, now he just went in. And, you know, it's freezing freaking cold up there.
Yeah.
So that was epic. And then there's Champs and Chumps. Now,
I don't want to spoil that too much, but Dan always presents a challenge, like a trivia usually towards Rich and Charlie, and then whoever is the winner is the champ and whoever is the loser is the chump.
And it's always a really great contest, but the thing that I find just, you know, funny.
You're gonna
it sticks
spoil
out
it, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to spoil
okay,
it.
Okay.
No, the fact that with their accents, when they say champs and when they say champs and chumps, it just sounds like the same e schwa sound.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, champs and chumps, gems and gems. We're going to find out who is a champ or a gem, gem. It's like, wait, which is a what now?
Yeah.
Which is the good thing and which is the bad thing? Enunciate. Don't you know how to speak the Queen's English?
It took me like listening to the first four episodes before I actually got what they were saying during that song.
So, you know, if we were the kind of people to steal things from other podcasts, we'd probably steal champs and chumps, but yeah. We won't, at least not yes. in this episode.
I'd just steal podcast.
Yeah, you could record some of those. Just stick them in our episode for no reason.
All right, so now that we've been talking about them forever, and we're going to play one of their most epic songs called, should I say the name?
Well, let's just say it's from their episode on the elderly. It's yes. odd that both the song and the clip I played are from the same episode, but they're just both, you know, we listened to the songs over and over. We decided this is the song we wanted to play.
Yes.
So, yeah. So here is here's a song by Flat 29 right now.
Marjorie, I get a funny feeling when you look at me. Baby, I can see what's going on.
Yo, yo,
and Marjorie, what do you make me feel so tingly? You might be 83, but why doesn't it seem wrong?
Cause when I saw you at the post office late last week, I was standing behind you and you smelled so sweet like potpourri. All having the Glade plug in, there's something about you, girl. Got me wondering what is wrong with me. I'm no Gerontophile, but when I see you looking back at me, I've got to smile. The only conclusion that I've got is that you're an old lady that used to be hot.
What secrets lie behind those eyes? 50 years ago, you had your pick of all the guys.
Yes.
Marjorie.
Every time I see you and my body says yes, even though my mind says no, I just can't stop myself from calling out bingo. It's always a pleasure to witness all the echoes of your former fitness. And surely it's about what's underneath, so I can look past your grey hair and false teeth, your artificial hip and your dodgy knee. And I can see the smoking hottie that you used to be. I bet back in the day you used to stop men in their tracks, but now they're only stopping to carry some of your shopping. Girl, I wanna give you a bit of a stroke, but I can't, in case I literally give you a stroke. And let me get it straight, I'm not weird or crazy. I wouldn't look twice at most old ladies. There's something that they're lacking, but it's something you've got. Cause you're an old lady that used to be hot.
Marjorie, your beauty peaked too soon.
Your beauty peaked too soon.
Back when you were in your prime, my mum was in the room.
Marjorie.
Been the perfect couple, but when you were my age I was minus 59 and it just never would have worked out. Still, how about next Wednesday I come round yours, we play a bit of bridge, maybe watch Columbo, and we'll take it from there.
All right, that was You're an Old Lady Who Used to Be Hot by Flat 29.
That's an awesome song.
Yes.
I have a lot of love for that song.
I also really liked Santa Saves Christmas. I really liked an Xbox Live love song. And I really loved the Flat 29 Superhero Anthem.
Also, the literal love song is really good, too.
Yeah. You like songs that describe themselves when they're being sung, to some degree.
Yeah, that one is not totally in that category, but... So now we're going to talk about British things that are cool.
Yes, and keeping in the spirit of Flat 29's Big Book of Everything, our topic is British things that are cool. We'll discuss that for a little
and
while.
And just in case the guys from Flat 29 are listening, these are the only cool British things. No.
No.
The following is the only cool British things. No. actually we know there's a whole world of cool things that we're not exposed to. These are just things we happen to get exposed to that we like.
Yes, I actually got to go to England in 1991 for a drama club trip for like 11 days over the summer. And sadly, this was before I was really clued into tons of cool stuff. It's like I knew who Monty Python were, but I hadn't like really seen much of their show. I hadn't seen Holy Grail yet.
You weren't a geek yet?
Yeah, I wasn't a geek in that sense yet.
Yeah.
So I remember I went to a British video store and I found a video of Holy Grail. And I'm like, and I asked the guy, you know, will this videotape work in American VCRs? And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. And I got it home and it totally didn't because of the different regions. So
yeah.
So yeah. So basically,
I've been to Heathrow, and I tasted Josh's fish and chips while we were at Heathrow Airport, and it was good. But other than that, you know, of the places I've never been, and I think Josh would agree with this: London and England and UK and Ireland and Scotland, but primarily London is like the place I want to go the most out of the whole planet. But I've never been there except for the airport.
Well, it's the cool thing about London, especially, you know, me being a high school age back in, you know, 1991, was just that the streets were like totally safe. I could wander around by myself till like one or two in the morning, then go back to the hotel. It's like I didn't feel for a moment like I was going to get mugged or whatever. And there was so much cool stuff there.
I actually feel safe in my Chicago neighborhood. But of course, you know, in other Chicago neighborhoods, you'd get killed just for existing.
Yeah, we also went to Stratford-upon-Avon, so I got to get some, you know, Shakespearean knowledge there. Also, in Stratford-upon-Avon, I picked up a bootleg t-shirt that was, it said Teenage Mutant Ninja Simpson, and it was Bart Simpson dressed as a Ninja Turtle with other Ninja Turtles behind him, and he's saying, Cowabunga, dude. So it was like this totally epic, you know, wow, you're bootlegging two things at once. So,
yeah, that's awesome.
Anyway, so other awesome British things that are cool, of course, I already mentioned Monty Python. I mean, that just goes without saying. Because Monty Python references just come in handy dandy just like all the time. Like when I was interviewing Chris Mazzalesta about him building a shed, and I'm like, okay, the Cirque du Soleil album, did you mix that album in the shed? And he's like, look, it's not all about the sheds. It's like, hey, shut up, two sheds and all that stuff. So it was awesome. And then, of course, I like the sitcom Coupling, which is like Friends if it didn't suck.
Exactly.
Starring Admiral Norrington.
Yes.
And Jeff, who says things like hippo and, you know, stuff like that. And Crazy Jane from Coupling is now on the show Leverage, which is also awesome. There's The Office, and you know, I've The Office is cool. I probably still prefer The American Office a little bit better, but
as a romantic couple, I preferred the Tim and Dawn from the UK Coupling to Jim and Pam, because Pam, right?
Yeah,
because they just dragged that on so goddamn long that I just wanted to like stick ice picks into somebody's ear. But you know, with the much shorter way that they do UK TV shows, you know, you got your payoff with spoiler, Tim and Dawn a lot earlier.
It's like, you know, it's. That's the weird thing is, like, you know, British sitcoms, it's like, oh, you know, we did 3 seasons. How many episodes did you do? 12. You know, it's like, what? So,
We could, after we read our list, find out what his list is.
Oh, okay. So, anyway, but, you know, I guess in England they're going for quality over quantity, because in America everything's all about the quantity and...
Right.
Yeah, but... I think the cool thing to mention is that sometime in the forthcoming season of The Office, there's going to be an episode where David Brent, you know, Ricky Gervais comes on the show as David Brent and, you know, mixes in with the American Office people. So
yes.
I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, other cool things. Spitting Image, the awesome caricature puppet show from back in the 80s that did a lot of political satire and celebrity spoofs.
Never heard of it.
Did you remember the Phil Collins Genesis video, Land of Confusion, you know.
Yeah.
This is the land of confusion.
With all the crazy puppets.
Yeah, that was them. That was a TV show.
I've watched it semi-recently on YouTube.
So yeah, so like all those puppets were from a TV show that was on, you know, in England in the 80s. You know, something else I wanted to get a copy of. Maybe at this point it's on DVD. I'd love to get in the, you know, anyway. And of course, Doctor Who. and Torchwood, but mainly we're talking about Doctor Who here because it's awesome. And once again, it's like such a huge topic I can't possibly begin, but one thought that crossed my mind recently is, why isn't there a Doctor Who video game? I mean, I'm sure there's been some computer games and stuff like that in the past, but why isn't there, like, for PlayStation, Xbox, and Wii, an awesome Doctor Who video game where you either get to play as one of the Doctors or multiple Doctors over different timelines, or you get to be a companion who, you know, it's like, yeah. There's so much epicness that could happen with a Doctor Who video game. Why hasn't it happened?
Can I do a side tangent that has nothing to do with Brits?
I guess so.
Really quick. Sure. I've been actually playing video games lately because I got that Wii that, as far as I know, none of you wanted my console code, so... But luckily, Luke sent me some Miis. So I've been doing Wii Fit. I've been doing Wii Sports Resort. And I've also been playing Plants vs. Zombies on Josh's iPad. And I beat the boss. So
that's awesome.
Yes, it's there's a really epic payoff that all of you would love if you beat that game. Anyways, back to the Brits.
So, yeah, that's just some of the British things I love. Carrie, here are some. What are some of the things you love?
Well, Rocky Horror, though it may take place in the States and the movie stars some American people, it is a British phenomenon, and that movie changed my life a lot. I, you know, without getting into the whole story, I probably wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Rocky Horror. If enough people request it, I'll tell the story of how I happen to be here. You know, on some future episode. Pirates of Penzance by Gilbert and Sullivan is a much beloved operetta. The Beatles is one of my all-time favorite bands because they are awesome, and Luke will never understand, but that's okay.
I'm trying. I'm making an effort.
The Prisoner, awesome, epic TV series from the 60s, I believe. That I'm sure some of you have seen, even though it's not technically sci-fi. It's pretty much, you know, a lot of sci-fi geeks love it. And of course, Red Dwarf. One of my favorite TV shows of all time, a British science fiction comedy. So
yeah, I love Red Dwarf as well. My fans have been clamoring for me to do a Red Dwarf tribute song.
Yes, we have been.
It's on the list as one of the important things. And in fact, a certain group from Los Angeles who have scum in their name may be involved in creating the background music for that. So
nice. It's called an instrumental.
Whatever.
Well, because, you know, you don't want to say it's in the background and I'm in the foreground, you know. And I had to say that with a British accent.
Is that British?
Whatever.
I think that's just hoity-toity.
Royal Carey voice.
The Royal Carey voice will speak when it is spoken to.
I prefer the high-pitched Royal Carey voice.
Anyway, so something else that's awesome about Britain and British people is their accents. Which, when I went in 1991, I didn't really fully hear a British accent until the woman who was there helping with the big school trip. And we were out on the curb, you know, trying to load our stuff into the van or whatever. And she said, "Does anybody need a hand with your bags?" And I went like, "Oh, that was so cool!" So, you know, I actually spent a few days when I was out and about in public by myself. Like, I was only talking in the British accent because I wanted to learn it correctly and just kind of acclimate myself to it.
Oh, dear God.
So,
I'm sure you
know. You
sounded horribly, obviously not British.
And here's another funny story from when I went to London. Of course, it rains like all hell there, so I went to buy an umbrella. So I walk in the store, and this was back when I had really long hair, the longest hair I've ever had in my life.
It was like mullet-ish, wasn't it?
It was mullet-ish. It was mullet-esque. I wouldn't completely consider it a mullet because the sides weren't trimmed down. The front and sides weren't trimmed down. It was just kind of long hair spewing out of my head. So I'm standing there and looking at umbrellas, and some woman comes up, "Can I help you?" And I'm like, yeah, I'd like to get an umbrella. And she looks at me and she goes, "Well, those are the men's umbrellas. The ladies' umbrellas are over there." And I'm like,
"What?
Okay." And she's like, "But you can get a men's umbrella if you like." I'm like, "I think that's what I want to do." So she totally thought I was
a
woman.
She thought you were a woman? That's hilarious.
And if I ever find a picture of me from that day, because I know I have one, I'll show it to you. That was, and then later that day, it happened again. I was at a McDonald's, getting some food because, you know, I'm an American, so where do I eat when I go to friggin' another country?
Hey,
I go to goddamn McDonald's.
I've done it too.
So I'm just like, you know, I'm waiting in line. All of a sudden I hear, you know, it was like a lunch rush. Some guy goes, "Miss, can I help you?" So I responded, "Yes, I'd like a quarter pounder with cheese, please." You know, so.
Nice.
Anyway, but it's just like the accent is awesome. And I think that's part of the reason why so many American girls' hearts go pitter pat for guys like the guys from Flat 29, because it's just kind of like you could say,
you could
talk about anything and you automatically sound so much cooler and more like, you know, full of intrigue. Like describe.
Well, it wears off eventually. I have a British ex-boyfriend, as you know.
Well, like for an example, like describe your day yesterday. Like what? Like from when you got up to when you just kind of
describe my day.
Just summarize it real quick.
I got up. I went to work. I came home. I dealt with unnamed crises, and I hooked up my insulin pump to my body.
Okay, so if a British person was saying that, it would be all like.
Yeah, right. So I got up in the morning and I got on the bus and I drove all the way to Schaumburg. Got off, went to the bank place where I work, you know, crackle, crackle, crackle on the keyboards all day. Lunch break, go for a walk, call up my mate, say, "Hey, I'm bored, talk to me, mate." I talked to my mate for a while, got off the phone, back here, the keyboards, clickety, clackety, click. Ends, I get on the bus, go back home, flip on the telly, see things are going on, there's a crisis I have to deal with, and then kitty cats go meow, meow, meow. And that basically was my day.
Now, didn't that sound infinitely more interesting and cool?
No.
It did.
Because I'm the one who said it.
No. Anyway, so... So the final thing we have to, because it's in the news, it can't be avoided. If we're talking about Britain, we have to mention the BP oil spill. And there's that head CEO guy.
Yes.
And he's out there, like, you know, there's disaster happening, and he's acting all like, "Oh, there's nothing going on here. Everything's fine. In fact, things are so good. And here's this and that." And nobody's buying it.
Right.
You know, because, and he's totally forgetting that classic British proverb.
Which is?
You can't fake a cake on the make!
Oh, of course.
You can't fake a cake on the make! You can't fake a cake on the make! Say what, what? You can't fake a cake on the make!
Was I supposed to sing here?
Take it, Carrie!
You can't fake a cake on the fucking make!
What?
Fuck
what?
You
what?
For doing this! You fucking know I don't fucking improv, you fucking bitch.
See, that's the thing, is they also do an awesome thing on Flat 29 when other people review their show. They take the review and turn it into a techno remix. So it's a review remix, you know. So, we have to give them something to work with here in the hopes that they will, you know, turn our review. So I figured I'd give them some syncopated things to make the mixing easier.
Okay, well, so. Done.
Yeah. Okay, so in conclusion, everyone needs to go subscribe to Flat 29's Big Book of Everything podcast. There's also the Flat 20 Rhymes podcast. I suggest signing up for both of them. Flat29.com, get their CDs as well. And yeah.
And here's a song from The Jungle Book.
Yeah. As I was thinking about the guys, Rich and Dan and Charlie, they kept reminding me of someone, and I couldn't figure out who they were reminding me of. And I'm like, no, it's not the Beatles. And then I remembered, oh, wait, they remind me of the vultures from that scene near the end of The Jungle Book. So, like, in my fantasy world, it would be so cool if the guys from Flat 29 did a cover version of this song from The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
Just because I can totally, you know, I'd like to, like, take that scene and, like, try to re-edit it and, like, have their voices from the podcast so that you can see, like, a vulture going, like, "You can't fake a cake on make," you know. So
nice.
That's why we're playing this song. So once again, peace out to Dan, Charlie, and Rich of Flat 29. You guys are awesome. Keep it up. I'd love to see them having songs at thefump.com.
Yes, they should definitely do the Fump thing.
So all you Fump,
we're gonna reach out to them after this interview and see if they reach back.
And the Funny Music Project, which is thefump.com, comedy music, they belong there.
Yes,
and we'd love to have international street cred at thefump.com.
Yes.
Anyway,
need some.
So here's that song I was gonna play, and then we'll have News of the Stupid. Peace.
Hey, Phyllis, are we his friends?
We're your friends. We're your friends. We're your friends to the bitter end.
The bitter end.
When you're alone.
When you're alone.
Who comes around?
Who comes around?
To pluck you up.
Give us a smile.
When you are down,
when you are down,
and when you're
outside looking in, who's there to open the door?
Come on, kid, we need a tenor.
That's what friends are for. Who's always eager to extend a friendly claw. That's what friends are for. And when you're lost in dire need, who's at your side at lightning speed? We're friends with every creature coming down the pike. In fact, we've never met an animal we didn't like.
You take it, kid.
So you can see we're friends in need and friends in need.
Friends in need.
Watch it forevermore.
That's what friends are.
Bravo, bravo.
And now it's time for...
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spices at devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess we're stupid to prove it innocent.
A man in Manatee County, Florida, cashed his paycheck and then spent $300 of it at a strip club on beer and strippers. After leaving the establishment, he realized his wife would be quite unhappy with the loss of money from payday. So he did what any drunk Floridian would do. He flagged down a police officer and claimed that he had been robbed. After the policeman questioned him, the man admitted there had been no robbery, but he needed a robbery report from the police to show his wife so she would not be upset with him. You know, like getting a doctor's note when you've missed school. The man told him that he has a wife and that the two share a common bank account to pay bills and buy groceries, and that's why he needed this robbery report, Manatee Sheriff Sergeant Will County wrote in his report. The fictitious robber has not been found, but it is suspected to have fled to Neverland, Narnia, or to the nearest convenient parallel dimension.
That ought to do it. Thank you very much, Carrie. Now it's time for Tips for Truckers with Bubba. Hey, you ever been tooling down the 402 in your 18-wheeled stainless steel monster of the highway when suddenly one of your teeth starts hurting and you don't got no time to see no dentist because the boss man needs you to get your load to Albuquerque before nightfall? Well, here's Bubba's Trucker Tip of the Week. Hell, to solve this problem, you don't even need to pull over. Just get yourself a string and tie one end around your tooth and the other end around something sticking out of the roof of the cab. Then just wait for the next big bumper pothole to come along and voila! Instant tooth extraction. Just be sure to watch out so the Smokies don't catch you, like they did with a Kitchener truck driver in Toronto, Canada, who did this very thing earlier this week. The evidence of his efforts were nearby, police said. When the driver was stopped, the officer found a bloody tooth and a string lying next to him. Next week, how to remove your appendix in a Quick Trip parking lot.
In England, owners of 20 pieces of underwear, including several bras, are being sought by police investigating a suspected underwear thief. The hoard was found after police arrested a 20-year-old man from Bussage, Gloucestershire, on suspicion of burglary and theft on June 27. Officers urged the owners to come forward and reclaim their underwear to help Gloucestershire police with their investigation. The man has been released on bail, and Detective Constable B. Morris said, "The main aim of the appeal is to try to find the owners and return these items. People may not have given it much thought, believing the dog has got hold of them, or they have been lost." Is this a common occurrence in England? Do people's dogs regularly steal their bras and run off with them? What are they doing with them? Putting on little doggy burlesque shows in their kennels? I can just picture one with a neon sign that says "The Bow Wow Club" with a marquee reading, "Come on in and check out our hot bitches."
And finally, in Fife, Washington, police officers noticed a car partly blocking a lane of traffic with one man behind the wheel. As police watched from a distance, another man emerged from some nearby bushes and placed a large duffel bag in the trunk of the car. The man then went back into the bushes, picked up two more large duffel bags, and also placed them in the trunk. Spoilers, the duffel bags are full of cocaine, about $1.2 million worth. When officers approached the vehicle, it fled the scene at high speed and careened recklessly through the streets of Fife with both men inside. Officers pursued the car until the driver suddenly turned down a dead-end road. When the car reached the dead end, the suspects jumped out and started running directly onto a field on the school grounds, where a large group of police officers from the canine unit were there training their police dogs. I can just imagine the scene, some sergeant in charge all like,
"Let's see, what can we do this week? Man, if we only had two suspects on foot holding a couple of duffel bags that could just come darting across the field here, we could sick the dogs on them. Hell, that'd take too long to set up, I guess. What the... Well, I'll be damned! Thank you, Jesus! Now stick 'em, boys! Go for the scrote! Go for the scrote! Yee-hoo! You just earned yourself a bacon strip!"
Both suspects were booked into the Pierce County Jail.
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Go for the scrote!
This has been News of the Stupid. Hi, this is Carrie Dalby.
And this is the great Luke Ski.
And we have a podcast called Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
And our show gets 1.3 million downloads per episode.
No we don't.
We get all the special sneak preview advanced tips on new Apple hardware.
We totally don't have any of that.
Fabulous celebrity guests.
Nope, none at all.
And in every episode, we give away a new car.
No.
Well, then what do we have?
Well, we play four comedy songs, we report on News of the Stupid, but mostly it's just you talking for 90 minutes about stupid 80s crap, and occasionally I get to talk.
Yeah, what she said. Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
To listen or subscribe, visit badrapport.com. BadRapport.com.
We grant wishes.
Shut the f*** up.
Okay.
Okay, we've skipped ahead a bit in time. We are now recording this with me in my place and Carrie at hers over Skype. Say hi, Carrie.
Hi, I'm on Skype and the sound doesn't suck that much this time.
Yes. Let's get into this is a song origin, one of our recurring segments where we explain the origin of a song. This time it's not entirely a song, it's more of a sketch. It is a sketch entitled You Are.
You Are.
You Are, which stands for...
Unexplained rash.
Yes. So why don't you kick off that story, Carrie?
Well, it all started when Luke and I were visiting Disney World several years back. And while I was showering myself, I noticed a rash on probably my leg. And I had no idea what it was or where it was from. And the song... Unexplained rash, unexplained rash, unexplained rash just popped into my head as if it was, you know, like the theme of an 80s cartoon, you know, like a boys cartoon, like He-Man, like that kind of theme song just popped into my head. And then later on, I told Luke about it. And then...
Well, we were waiting in line, I think, for the Kilimanjaro Safari at Animal Kingdom. And
yes.
And that was when you first kind of busted out this idea on me, and you're explaining it to me, and you had, I think you had mentioned at that point it would be cool to get other people involved.
Really? I don't remember.
Or was it my idea to get other people involved?
I probably just told you about it as just like a random thing that popped into my head.
Okay.
That I wanted to share.
So it must have been my idea to get other people involved, because
okay.
When you first said that to me and you sang to me,
Unexplained rash. Unexplained rash. Unexplained rash. The first thing that shot into my head after that was Earl, my friend Earl, a.k.a. Wingard of Nick Adams, saying, "Unexplained rash! Yeah!" And it's like that, like, sparked off in my head. I'm like, oh my god, that would be so epic if we totally went off on this thing. And then at some point, it turned into a thing where instead of it just being a sketch for a kids' 80s show called Unexplained Rash, it goes from that quickly into it being a commercial for the breakfast cereal based upon the kids' 80s action cartoon show Unexplained Rash.
Yeah.
And, yep. And so it's like we Carrie and I wrote the script together and we ended
It was almost entirely you.
Well, okay.
I would say I wrote the song by the fact that it popped into my head and I shared it with you, and everything else was you writing it.
And it was pretty epic because we immediately got like a cast of thousands. It was one of the first kind of multi-artist FUMP things that we ever did back when the FUMP first started in early 2007. So it's like we have...
Yes, it included Shoebox. It included Jeff Smith of Raymond and Scum. It included, of course, all of the Nick Adams... prominently featuring Wingard.
Yeah, Jared
it
Ringgold.
Included Devo Spice.
And of course, Jared Ringgold and John Mapes, I believe, they were the ones doing the actual Unexplained Rash rock theme song. So it's their vocals on that. But yeah, Devo Spice.
And am
Spice,
I forgetting someone?
Devo Spice, Shoebox.
You and Me, of course.
Chris Messalesta, You and Me. So we had all four members of Cirque du Soleil What in it, which is cool.
Oh yeah, Chris was in it.
Yeah, Chris was in it, and you know, you mentioned Jeff Smith. Yeah, I think we've covered everybody, but it was really epic and really awesome. And we played it on last week's episode because at the time I had an unexplained rash on the back of my leg, and now this week you have an unexplained rash in other places.
All over my ankles, except it's explained. I guess I might as well just come out and say we have a bed bug infestation and it really sucks.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that is the explanation of Unexplained Rash. So, there you go.
There is your song origins. Now you need to request Luke Ski song origins, because we've done all kinds of, you know, Carrie Dalby ones.
Yes. And, of course, my website is thegreatlukeski.com. You can go check out my song index with lyrics there and look for songs to ask me about. And then, of course, there's carriedalby.com, and we both have pages at the Funny Music Project, thefump.com. So, yeah. Now we're going to play a song, speaking to thefump.com, that was posted at the FUMP Sideshow by the Damsels of Dorkington. And
yes.
Those of you who listen to the FUMP podcast are saying, hey, wait a minute, we already heard this over on that podcast. And I say, I don't care. It's an awesome song, and besides, they're girls. And we like playing songs by girls on this podcast, don't we, Carrie?
We just like girls on this podcast.
Word. So here is the Damsels of Dorkington with their big YouTube hit song. Right now on Bad Rapport.
I don't date guys from marching band or track conventions, but you showed me your Vulcan hand, made an impression. Jocks are what I'm used to. Just one inter. Peace with you.
pale, bespectacled, hard to believe they're sexual.
All right, so we are recording.
Luke hears it prominently whenever you do that. He's a very loud nose blower.
Well, if Sarah wishes to blow her nose loudly, we can record that as well, so that we can have the dual Josh and Sarah in the background blowing noses loudly.
Okay.
What? She's going to eat chips loudly, so she'll have the chips,
okay.
and Josh will have the nose blowing.
Okay, that works.
Tell Josh to blow his nose one more time right now.
Josh, blow your nose again.
It's like a vuvuzela. It's awesome.
He's looking at me like, what did Luke say? And I'm looking at you like, bitch, listen to the podcast.
Speaking of the podcast, it's time for What's Luke Plugging Now?
What's Luke plugging now?
Oh, yeah.
That really doesn't work with the delay, so let's not try to sing in okay. at the same time.
And of course, we'll begin with What's at the Fump? What's at that Fump? Funny Music Project. What's at the Fump? Yeah. Funny music twice a week.
Someday, I swear to God, we're going to have real sound bites of this shit.
Yeah, if Chris Mazzalesta stops building his freaking chicken sheds and starts doing stuff for us for free, because we're demanding and jerks.
Well, maybe if I offered to pay him.
So, anyway, Kick It, Carrie. Tell us, what songs are at thefump.com for free download right now?
Well, Insane Ian's Fump Ox debut, our love song featuring the Stacy is on the top there.
Hooray!
Yay! I haven't listened to it yet. I usually have a one-day delay of listening to Fump. TV's Kyle's Electric Shock. Cirque du Soleil's Looking for Things, which... that's another one you should ask the origins on. Let's just put it that way. Morning Sidekicks, Everybody Go See Twilight. Money Shot Cosmonauts Smells Like Karen Carpenter, which features Chris Mazzalesta on background vocals. Devo Spice's I Hate Mondays. Yes, we do. The Great Luke Ski's Gowron Said Knock You Out 2010 edition. And Tom Smith's Operation Desert Storm studio version.
Yes, and we want to remind you all that there is the Funny Music Podcast that is a weekly thing me and Devo Spice do, where we interview the two artists who posted tracks the previous week. We actually had to pre-record our interview with Insane Ian and TV's Kyle. That'll be played on Dementia Radio Thursday and posted to the feed on Thursday. So, but yeah, the episode previous to that had all four members of Cirque du Soleil, Jesse from Morning Sidekick, and two of the ladies from the Damsels of Dorkington and Sarah Trice. So it was quite a basket of insanity. So check out both of those episodes.
I'm so behind on my podcasts. I haven't even heard that yet.
Yep. Artbyluksky.com. If you live anywhere near me and you would like me to come draw at your party this summer, please get a hold of me and set it up. Go to artbyluksky.com to check out the details on that. And then at Luke's.
It'd be really nice if you guys would do that.
Yes, I could really, really use the work right now.
You really, really could.
Free MP3 of the week over at luksky.com is my Will Smith send up about his movie Independence Day. Aliens Just Don't Understand. So there's that. Tour dates. This weekend is Nerdapalooza. It's at the Orlando Airport Marriott in Orlando, Florida. Their website is nerdapalooza.org. July 17th and 18th with some pre-events happening on the 16th. It will have Devo Spice, Worm Quartet, Positive Attitude, Captain Dan and His Scurvy Crew, Mark with the Sea, Schaefer the Dark Lord, MC Frontalot, and many more. Will Lukeski be there? I honestly don't know right now. I've been saying that I'm going to be there for months, and now I don't know. That's the kind of crappy week I've been having. I will.
Hey, you're not the only one having a crappy week.
I know. I know. Gen Con Indy, August 5th through 8th in Indianapolis, Indiana, at the Indianapolis Convention Center. Go to GenCon.com. I'll be there along with Mark Gunn and the Damsels of Dorkington, which we just heard. They also have media guests of honor, Will Wheaton and Felicia Day, along with other members of her show, The Guild.
So, and it's not official, but there's a pretty decent chance that I'll be there at Gen Con Indy.
That would be nice. Oh, and also, the movie Harvey Putter and the Ridiculous Premise from the makers of The Dork of the Rings will be shown there several times, and they'll have the DVD for sale. So another thing you want to put on your Gen Con to-do list. Hey, Carrie, what shade of pink are you wearing?
I'm wearing light baby pink with pretty sparkly pink on top, which is a circle with another circle inside of it. What does that remind you of?
Scud the Disposable Assassin.
That would be Target. It's actually a breast cancer awareness shirt from Target from a long time ago. And so some of the shades of pink are more like, you know, coffee brown stains. So that's my shirt today.
Ah. So do you mind if I do these ignorant stories? They're all pretty quick.
All right, but I don't promise to react.
Okay. I draw caricatures for a living, and often very ignorant things happen when I'm drawing caricatures for a living, and then I tell these stories here on the podcast to make myself feel better. So I was drawing, and there was a bunch of little young kids. I don't know. They must have been, you know, kindergarten age, and they're running around being hyper, and they kept bugging me, the kind of thing where it's like, is this free? You know, can I get, you know, and it's like, no. And it's like, how much?
Like what Steve does on the Cirque du Soleil sketch?
Yes. So this one kid is like, this one kid was like, you know, can I get one for free? Because it's my birthday. And I said, no. She's like, how much does this cost? It's $5. And then he said, can you give me $5 because it's my birthday?
That's awesome.
I'm like, wow.
Hey, that's smart. That's not ignorant. That's intelligence.
Anyway, this was another situation where a mother wants me to draw like two of her kids, and one of them is very young, and he's like super hyper, and like, you know, I'm sitting there I trying to draw him, and he like gets in his chair, turns around, and faces the opposite direction while I'm drawing him, and the mom is sitting right next to him watching me trying to draw him. So I stop and I look up and I just stare at the back of his head for like 5 or 6 seconds, waiting for the mom to say, you know, Timmy, turn around, or whatever his name is. Turn around and sit down. He can't see your face. And she didn't do anything. So yeah. I basically, like, moved back over to the other kid and, like, worked on details for him, like, hoping, like, maybe this kid will, on his own, turn back around. And I think finally the mom got the hint. Okay, drawing a family of four. They all came in wearing at least one, if not multiple, articles of clothing or hats or accessories that had the Chicago Cubs written on them. You know, Cubs.
Yes, I see people like this frequently at my train stops.
Yeah, so they go to sit down and like, oh, we want to get the four people with the bodies and backgrounds. That would be great. And I'm like, okay, what do you want to be doing for the body and background? And he's like, I don't know. just make up something for us. And I'm thinking to myself, what I wanted to do was say this out loud to them. Is there any kind of thing that all four of you are into a lot that, you know, you go out into public as a group to celebrate this thing? Can you think of anything like that off the top of your head? But, you know, I kept my mouth shut and just drew them as Cubs fans. Duh, you know. And
did they like it?
Yes, they completely freaking loved it. It just astounded me. Like, you asked me for bodies and you don't know what you want them to be, and yet you're wallpapered with Cubs paraphernalia. So. So, okay, last...
Oh, did you hear that awesome noise from my husband?
Yes, I did.
that rock soars.
Tell him I give him two
Can you make some more neat noises, honey? Here he comes. Okay, that was fascinating.
God, the boys from Flat 29 are really going to be impressed with this podcast, aren't they?
What, Josh? What?
I said I could dance a little bit.
Oh, Josh offered to dance for the podcast.
A little visual performance in an audio medium.
All right, let me get through this one last story so we can move on to comments. So, yeah, I got a big line of various families I'm drawing, and they suddenly all want bodies and backgrounds, which is good because I make more money that way. So I drew, people are watching me draw, and it's like, okay, a couple gets drawn, they asked for, Superman, Batman, and then another people come up, and it's like, okay, three kids, Wolverine, Iron Man, and Spider-Man, okay? And then somebody else comes up, and, it's another kind of superhero pairing. And then these three people get up, and there's a girl who wants to be drawn as Bo Peep. I'm assuming she meant, like, from Toy Story, but, little Bo Peep. The dad in the middle wanted the Incredible Hulk. The boy on the right wanted to be Mario. fine. I did it. No problem. Got done, gave it to them, they left. The next people sit down, it's like, we want ones with bodies, too. And they're like, okay. Or I said to them, okay, what kind of bodies do you want? And the guy paused and looked at me kind of with an odd look on his face. He's like, you mean we get to pick the bodies? So that means this guy just sat there and watched me draw all these other people with bodies, thinking that I was the one who decided, like, superhero, Little Bo Peep, the Incredible Hulk, and Mario. That was all coming from me based on nothing. So
that's awesome.
No, I explained to him that he got to pick, and, they picked something, and I drew it. So that's my ignorant stories for this episode. Let's move on to comments.
All righty. You want to kick it off?
Well, actually, why don't you kick it off, because I gotta pull up the voice messages. So
okay, Insane Ian says, number one, didn't get to vote last ep, but Good to Be the King gets my vote. Serenity/Remedy is a close second, and I laughed at the idea of parodying Funky Cold Medina with Hercules and Xena, but yes, it's a tad outdated. Also, thank you for the very kind words about my Silent Bob Sabotage parody. Means a lot to me. Carrie, Comfortable Vocal Cords for All should be the title of your next album. It's already become the name of my Carrie Dalby cover band. I enjoy ellipses and exclamation points, because he had a lot of ellipses. And then his second comment was, Carrie, thanks you also for your support. I appreciate it. This is what I get for commenting before I finish listening to the entirety of the podcast. Yay for folks.
Cool. I will comment further on the You Pick Luke's Fump rigmarole later. So, but yes, yay Ian. He is awesome. Thank you for commenting. Arkel says, I still wholeheartedly support Hosers. There's a whole generation of kids out there There's a whole generation of kids out there who've never been exposed to SCTV. To them, all there is SNL and Monty Python, or as they probably refer to it, that old British show that Dad likes. They need to be educated.
Okay, then Douchey Lawyer Guy chimes in with, Dear Bad Rapport, it has come to our attention that you have infringed on my client's intellectual property by using the term bacon porch while engaging in activities leading to monetary gain without seeking nor receiving permission from the Pot of Destiny. You are asked to cease and desist from its use henceforth, etc., etc., Douchey Lawyer Guy. By the way, monetary gain?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, first of all, and second of all, Douchey was spelled D-U-C-H-Y.
Yeah, so the first time I saw it, I was like, what's a Douchey lawyer?
Maybe it's a lawyer from the Netherlands.
But then it needs a T. Oh, well, we love you, Bill.
Okay.
Goes on to say?
Blast Bill Putt says, Carrie, I think you are a fine storyteller. Luke, do not worry about whether or not someone has heard the original song and considering what songs to parody. Hearing a song for the first time as the parody version happens so often in Weird Al fandom, the term reverse parody has been coined. Do you know how many songs over the years you have parodied that I didn't know the original of? Just because you think people won't know the Denton song is not an excuse not to parody it.
Madman on the Loose is the one who coined that term, reverse parody.
I'm not sure that's entirely accurate. Is it really a reverse parody? Is there another word besides reverse we could use? I don't know.
Why?
I just... reverse involves going backwards, and I'm not exactly sure...
Yes, of course, it makes perfect sense, because if they're not familiar with the original, then it sounds like a parody to
them.
It's
kind of more like it's like the opposite thing is occurring. So it's more like if we called it a bizarro parody, that would make more sense to me. I don't know. I'm not gonna debate the semantics of it right now. I'm just gonna bring it up.
First parody, so. It is. Madman on the Loose goes on to say, the three I prefer equally are the ones about SCTV, Brooks, and Python. As far as music, don't even worry about people knowing the original song. If they know the subject, they will get it. If they don't, the song being parodied won't matter.
On page 2, it continues.
Oh, thank you. People on vacations, like us at conventions or concerts, have a tendency to act or say things they would normally not do. I see in the faces of hotel and arena staff the same thing in many of your caricature stand stories.
Word. okay, here's a long comment, and it has to do with me asking the question to the listeners, just what's so bad about Star Trek V in comparison to all the other Star Trek stuff that came out before it, primarily the TV show that had some pretty cheesy bad episodes. So Sean says, what's wrong with Star Trek V? If Star Trek V was the only sequel to Star Trek the original series and Star Trek the animated series, I would agree. But when you compare it to the earlier movies and Star Trek the Next Generation, it is lacking. There are rules and conventions that we've learned in other works that it violates. So here's some bullet points as to why Star Trek V was bad from Sean. It was the only Star Trek movie directed by William Shatner. Spock's mind-controlled rocket boots, nuff said. Uhura and Scotty dating? No, and we'll never speak of this again in any of the following movies. Yet again, Starfleet has only one ship in the vicinity of Earth. It's the Enterprise, it's in pieces, and there's no one to run it. You think they would have learned something from the encounter with V'ger. Uhura providing a distraction by stripping? Okay, Nichelle Nichols is an attractive woman, but I don't buy it. How would Scotty know that Plan B, as in barricade, know that they were going to crash the shuttle into the back of the shuttle bay, or know the exact time to drop the shields? And wouldn't Starfleet have some procedure for recovering a shuttle in combat, other than making it up on the fly? Wait, the center of the galaxy is only 7 hours away, but in Star Trek Voyager it would have taken 80 years to travel from one side of the galaxy to the other? Climbing an uncaged ladder up the turbo lift shaft with the decks numbered backwards, Spock takes a detour and just happens to have his rocket boots on the lowest level of the ship, but comes down to pick up Kirk and McCoy, them from somewhere above. That sentence is kind of weird, but I get the point. The boots have only 3 speeds, off, medium, and oh my god! Then we find a god so powerful that it has trapped itself inside an energy barrier that it isn't strong enough to break out of, let alone get off the planet. Well, it's a godlike creature, maybe, but not the god, and Kirk's the only one who recognizes this. Overall, there were just too many technical mistakes and lame jokes. Trekkers and Trekkies watched it and bought it, but only to complete their collections.
Okay, any thoughts, or should I read the last comment?
We'll read the last comment first.
Arkel says, Sean, I think my dad sums up Star Trek V, the banal frontier, best. Are we really supposed to believe that the entire crew except Spock and McCoy would betray Kirk because some Vulcan came out of the desert spewing Dianetics?
By the way, that word is the banal frontier.
Oh, I've always had a problem with that word. I'm glad that you read Sean's comment, because it would have been bad if I tried to read it. I wouldn't have known any of the acronyms or any of that shit.
So, yeah, thank you for all those points, Sean, and you've basically answered my question, so thank you for all that. and Arkel as well, and everyone else for commenting. Let me get to the voice comments now. Hopefully I'll be able to get this right without it messing up. Here we go. I hope you will be able to hear this, Carrie. You should be able to.
Okay.
Hey, Luke and Carrie, it's Deep Spice. Luke, I want to apologize. I was going to write in with, all about your pick Luke's bump thing, and I just completely forgot. I've been so busy with everything. But I do want to mention, if you go ahead with your "Good to Be the King" song, I demand to be the second vocalist on that song. That is all. Bye.
Noted and accepted. That would be awesome. So that answers that. All right, here's another highly important voice message. Here it is right now.
Tile!
Okay. Thank you, Tile Guy. and now we have a couple messages from Draconis. I'll play them both here back to back. So here we go.
Hey, Luke and Terry, this is Draconis. Great show as always. A couple of things for your opinion. One, have you and the rest of the circuit ever thought about doing like a video series, i.e. something like Monty Python using your Cirque du Soleil sketches? And two, what's your opinion on Hanna-Barbera's choice of just keep updating Scooby-Doo and Tom and Jerry instead of working with some of the other things they've had, including doing modern-day Laugh Olympics? Have a great show as always. Later.
As far as Cirque du Soleil doing videos goes, I think we want to do videos, but I think it's kind of a physical impossibility because the four of us live very far apart from each other. And, it's like it's possible we could attempt to plan stuff out way in advance, but I'd have to assume the next time the four of us get together at a non-convention location will most likely be, to record stuff for our next album, and I have no idea when that might be, when our time and schedule and money and various things like that would all fall into place. But it's something
By the way, as long as you're talking about Cirque du Soleil, I did finally listen to it for the second time, and it was a lot better the second time because of how the tile sketch has taken on a life of its own. But I didn't always know when it was coming. So the hotel sketch, it's the hotel sketch, and then all of a sudden Chris shows up, and that was awesome.
Did you hear the Cirque du Soleil special episode of Bad Rapport that we did?
Yes, I've listened to every Bad Rapport episode ever.
Because
this one.
We have the first ever live performance of the hotel sketches on that episode, and I think it went over really awesomely. So.
Yeah, but for some reason I forgot that was in there.
Yeah.
So it was awesome to hear that album again.
And then as far as Hanna-Barbera keeping updating Scooby-Doo and Tom and Jerry, I don't know. I mean, Scooby-Doo, when they did that show, What's New Scooby-Doo, I liked that from what I saw just because it was essentially them just continuing doing Scooby-Doo type mysteries with them as themselves in the modern world solving mysteries. It's like, yay, it's Scooby-Doo the way it should be. It's like that whole pup named Scooby-Doo and this new weird show with Scooby and Shaggy and the character designs are all different, and it's like they have like Scooby snacks that grant Scooby special powers or something. It's like it just really didn't appeal to me, and I don't even know if a modern day Laugh Olympics would be possible because I don't know if there's enough characters that people know. Like if Cartoon Network did it and it was like, the Powerpuff Girls and Dexter's Lab and Johnny Bravo and like every character they've created over the past 10 years, that could work. But trying to bring back all those old characters like, Fred and Yogi Bear and stuff, I think would be lost on the kids these days. So
there's a guy that I see on the bus all the time that has Jetsons tattoos, including Astro.
Wow. So, okay, one more quick message here from Draconis. Hopefully I'll get this right in the first try.
Hey, Luke, this is Draconis again. Just to let you know, if you were ever visiting New Jersey in an outskirts of a town called Haddonfield, a little art studio store is now doing animation classes. Later.
Well, that is very cool to know. I kind of doubt I'm going to be out in that part of New Jersey, and if I am, that I'd have the time to take these classes, but thank you for letting me know about it.
Good of you to think of Luke, and
yes.
If someone in Chicagoland sees that, let us know.
Okay, so to wrap up my thoughts on You Pick Luke's Fump, I've kind of thought about it some more. And basically, factoring in the support that various tracks got from the commenters on this week's episode, it kind of definitely pushed the song It's Good to Be the King, up into a much more locked, solid, number three spot with Serenity at number one and Denton at number two. And then still my personal pick for what I'd like to do, the Walking Silly Boyz II Men / Monty Python thing as my personal pick of something I would just like to have happen, and other people seem to be happy with that. So I think those four are the main ones I'm going to leave in my mental bank of consideration and on my lists of I'm going to try to make these happen. I did send out some feelers to folks that normally make my background music.
Instrumentals.
Instrumentals for free. Or no, for free. What am I saying? Just the opposite. For money.
for the lack of free.
Yes. Of the ones that I sent out feelers, the most inexpensive ones to do, or the most inexpensive one of those would be probably the Denton song, along with The Red Bank song is what I meant to say. Red Bank, Denton, you know, that's the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
The It's Good to Be the King one, I think also, actually that one might be fairly inexpensive as well, but I don't know. Now that I have all these new problems that have been thrust upon me in the past 24 hours or so, the notion of me being able to afford to make any music in, for the foreseeable future is you know, on very thin ice. Which leaves an interesting question, because I was, you know, hoping and expecting to have at least one new track to debut at Gen Con next month. So I don't know. If I do have a new track for Gen Con next month, it would either be the Denton / Red Bank parody, or it will be a new song about a much more topical topic in geeky fandom, because, you know, Gen Con is the place for things like that. So
yeah, I would do the whatever the second one is.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah. So, and I had been planning on putting out What a Ripoff Volume 2 at Gen Con as well, and this whole You Pick Luke's Fun thing was supposed to tie into that, but like I said, now that money is super tight, I don't know if I'll be able to afford the album or afford the album and afford to put a new song on it. So I apologize to my fans, but life happens, and we'll just have to wait and see. You know, like I said, I don't even know if I'm going to Nerdapalooza at the time I'm recording this. But on a brighter note, so many of you, including Carrie, were in major support of my idea to do a parody of the song Denton from the movie Shock Treatment, the Rocky Horror sequel, about the films of Kevin Smith, and call it Red Bank, as in Red Bank, New Jersey, where the majority of his films take place. So because of that, I am sticking the song Denton at the end of this podcast for you to listen to. Thank you, Josh. I'm sticking the song Denton at the end of this podcast for you all to listen to in case you hadn't heard it. So you'll
awesome
know,
song.
So you'll know what the heck it's, you know, you'll have an idea when the song comes along. Anything else you wanted to say, Carrie Dalby?
I've never performed in Denton as in any time I've done a Shock Treatment Shadowcast, because the characters Janet and Betty are not prominently featured in it.
Yes, Carrie is the ultimate Betty Hapshat when it comes to Shock Treatment live performance Shadowcast.
I also played Janet Majors on one occasion, so yeah. Hope you guys enjoy the song.
Yes, so thank you very much, everyone, for making comments and leaving messages. You too can make comments and leave messages for us by going to badreport.com and clicking on the, you know, episode thingy, and you can leave us a comment and we'll read it on the air. You can also leave us a voicemail message on Google Voice with from the number 916-LUKESKI. That's 916-585-3754. So do that. And you can also leave us a review on iTunes. I, once again, totally forgot to check this, but that's kind of understandable given all the crap I've been through in the past day and a half.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
We also have the Bad Report Twitter, and we have the Bad Report Facebook.
Yes.
So remember them, because we're, you know, unlike Pot of Destiny, we don't have enough fans to have a vanity URL on Facebook. So if you haven't liked us on Facebook yet, you should go ahead and do that.
Yeah, and the links to both of those, the Twitter and the Facebook, are both at badreport.com. And should you want to email us a message that won't be read on the air, that would be badreport@gmail.com. That's BADRAPPORT at gmail.com.
That's so, also where you email if you want Carrie's console code for the Wii, unless you already know Carrie's email.
Yes. And if you want my console code for the Wii, let me know there as well, and I will send you mine as well so that we can play Mario Kart. Even people in England can play Mario Kart on the Wii with me if they so feel like it.
You are such a fanboy.
Well, you know, hey, it's awesome. So, all right, is that the show, Carrie? Is it done?
That's the show. I'm calling it.
All right. Thank you very much. This has been Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this was a Bad Rapport.
Yes, it's fucking French. Deal with it.
Flat29.com.
You'll find happy hearts and smiling faces and tolerance for the ethnic races in Denton.
You'll find a rambling rose and a picket fence.
Tenderness. innocence in Denton.
You'll find conference rooms and a children's playground. Denton is a real okay town. Civic pride and civic duty. And Denton girls are full of beauty.
You may call us the goody goody choo-choo. We're here to cheer you with the good news. At D-E-N-T-O-N gets T-E-M, that's 10 out of 10.
If you're looking for a life of pleasure,
you're gonna get a whole lot to please ya.
Again and again.
And again and again.
And again.
Bethlehem of the West.
This is the birthplace of the virtuous.
The home of happiness.
Leisure-wise, we're sure you will adapt.
Enjoy your stay. Have a happy holiday.
Listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
You cannot fake a cake on the make.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.
In England, owners of 20 pieces of underwear, including several bras, are being sought by police investigating a suspected underwear thief. The hoard was found after police arrested a 20-year-old man from Bussage Glucos...
Gloucestershire.
In England. In England, owners of 20 pieces of underwear, including several bras, are being sought by police investigating a suspected underwear thief. The hoard was found after police arrested a 20-year-old man from Bussage, Gloucestershire.
Gloucestershire.
Oh, God. I know this is going to be on the end of the show. Okay. In England, owners of 20 pieces of... Let me practice it. Gloucestershire?
Gloucestershire.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I got it. Gloucestershire. Okay.